Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning, a couple of our young people saw the church sign and asked me, is it about a horror movie? Because the title of our sermon is A Voice from the Dead. No, it's not a horror movie. It's based on Luke chapter 16, especially verse 31, the final verse where it says, and he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. Again, our title, A Voice from the Dead. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline on the green insert. I would imagine that most all of you here this morning have at one time or another attended a funeral. You know, there's nothing like a funeral to make a stop and consider what is really important and lasting in our life. And as a pastor, I've conducted far more funerals than I've ever attended. And I'm wondering, is there a particular funeral that sticks in your mind? There's one that I will never forget. On the night of my high school graduation, one of my best friend's father died as he was going out their front door down the steps to go to her graduation. A few days later was his funeral. I remember especially grieving at this funeral, not just because a dear friend had lost her father, but because this man, his entire life, had stubbornly resisted becoming a Christian. Success and wealth had insulated him from the recognition of his need for a Savior. He acted like he was going to live forever. And I believe he does, and he did. But the question is, where and with whom and how? As I sat in the funeral home, I looked around at the faces of his friends and his family. I wondered what they were thinking about. Were they thinking about their own death and their own eternity? Let me tell you, the service was just awful. The man was a lifelong member of the Masonic Lodge. A lodge brother led the service with a combination of soothing poetry, nice music, and a eulogy filled with all the wonderful things this man accomplished and all the contributions he gave to charity. There was no mention of life or eternal life, what could be said? At the time, I wondered what this deceased man would have said to this gathering if he'd been able to come back from death and be a voice from the dead. Would he tell them about entering the valley or the shadow of death without a good shepherd and a Savior? Would he plead with his family to get right with God? It was too late for him at this point. But what would he say to those who were still living if he could come back and be a voice from the dead? What if we could hear a voice from the dead? What would this voice tell us? Would it make any difference? Would we listen? Or would we check our clocks and say, I've got to get on to my next appointment? Today's sermon is entitled A Voice from the Dead. It's based on Jesus' words in Luke chapter 16. Here we find a parable. And if you recall, a parable has been defined as an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. A story that's told us to teach us an important truth. Now, Jesus' parable in Luke 16 can be seen as a drama comprised of three acts. Note your sermon outline. Act 1. Act 1 can be called a study in contrasts, contrasting the rich man with the poor man whose name is Lazarus. Verse 19 says, there was a rich man clothed in purple and fine linen who feasted sumptuously every day. Why is purple mentioned? Anyone who at the time of Christ had purple clothing was probably a very wealthy person. Because this purple dye that was used was extracted from very rare and costly sea creatures. And the process to extract this dye was very complicated. You had to have the big bucks, let us say, if you wore purple clothing. And this purple-clothed man, the text says, feasted every day. That is, he pigged out every day. He never fasted or observed religious holidays. He didn't give his money to feed the poor and hungry of his town. Now, in contrast, we're introduced to a poor man named Lazarus. Verses 20 and 21 tell us, "And at the rich man's gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores." This poor man was probably covered with the sores of leprosy. And his name seemed a contradiction in reality, because Lazarus means "God is my helper." But every day he was laid at the rich man's gate with the help and the hope of a handout. And he was so weak, he couldn't even beat away the dogs that licked his running sores. Verse 22 says, "The poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. And the rich man also died," the text says, "and was buried." Both men died. What about their funerals? Well, the text doesn't tell us, but the custom of the day would have been this. The rich man would have had an elaborate service filled with praises for his accomplishments and maybe his contributions. Sound familiar? But then he would have been placed in a magnificent tomb only the wealthy could afford. The poor man, his dead body would have just been thrown onto the garbage dump outside the gates of the town. Well, the curtain drops on Act 1 of this drama in the parable. Both men are dead. Act 2 could be called Justice at Last. Verse 23 says, "And in Hades, the rich man, being in torment, lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus at his side." The rich man is in hell, the poor man in heaven. The rich man is in torment, but he's able to see Lazarus. The text says he's able to see Lazarus at Abraham's side. The actual words are "at the bosom of Abraham." This means the poor man was in heaven and the rich man could see it. The poor man was enjoying peace and comfort and happiness. Not so the rich man. He was in torment. What a contrast to their earthly lives. Now remember, the point of each of Jesus' parables is to speak to us one central idea today and to make us ask, in this parable, this important question: how ready are you for your own death? Note, the poor man had a name, Lazarus. What was the rich man's name? The text doesn't tell us. He's not given a name. Why not? One reason may very well be so that he can represent every person today, so that we can identify ourselves with him, so we can make ourselves ask the question, how do I see myself in him? What riches am I depending on today? My possessions, my comfort, my status. What am I depending upon today in terms of riches to give my life meaning and purpose? And when these earthly riches fail us, and they will fail us, when we die, just ask the rich man. Act 3 of this parable should really shock us. Listen to verses 24 and 25. And the rich man called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Remember that in your lifetime you received your good things. In Lazarus, in like manner, bad things, but now he's comforted here, and you are in anguish." But even in hell, the rich man was trying to give orders. "I'm thirsty. Send Lazarus to bring me some water." And when this order doesn't work, he tries another request. He wants Abram to make Lazarus go to his 5 brothers in his household, so he can warn them that they don't end up in the torments he's experiencing. But Abraham says in verse 29, "My son, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." Translation, they can listen to the Bible preached and the Bible taught. Everything they need is there if they will but listen. But the rich man still wants to give orders. Verse 30, "No, Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, then they will listen." And Abraham's response ends this parable. It's the theme verse for our sermon today. Verse 31. "If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone rises from the dead." Can you hear the message for our world today? How many people today simply will not believe what God has said about life and death and eternity? We have been given Moses and the prophets. That is, we have been given the testimony of the Scriptures and of faithful believers. Yet many will not believe. And indeed, someone has risen from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. And still people will not believe. This shows us a picture of the stubborn, rebellious, sinful heart that proclaims, "Don't you try to tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I darn well please." But in this parable, Jesus is telling us at least 5 key truths. And they're printed for you on your outline this morning. Truth number 1. We will all live forever. Death is not the end. And it's not our choice. Now, this can either be the basis of our greatest hope or of our deepest anxiety. The question of today's parable for all people, for us today, is this: where will you spend eternity? Truth number 2. There are 2 distinct realms of death. The Bible is clear. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Now, many people today have opinions or feelings about such things. But so many of these opinions or feelings are nothing more than wishful thinking. I, and I hope you also, prefer to rely on God's timeless and trustworthy word rather than the opinions of men that wax and wane and change here and there. Truth number 3. What we believe and what we do about it determines our eternal destiny. Please note, the rich man was not in hell because he was rich. The poor man was not in heaven because he was poor. Their eternities were determined by their spiritual condition. Do you remember what the name Lazarus means? God is my helper. God is my Savior. You see, God has provided for us our helper, our Savior, that we might be with Him forever in heaven when we die. What was that Bible passage we spent time talking about in adult Bible study this morning? Remember people who were in my class? I told you as every Sunday I'd be doing this, as I do every week. And we laughed because Vicar Chung did it in his first sermon twice. And we said, where did he get that from? And we know where he got that from. But the Scripture tells us our God has given us a helper. Our name can be Lazarus. God is my helper and Savior. Because the Holy Scripture has says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lazarus, God is my Savior. Our Lord Jesus gave His life. Thank God for a sinner like me and for you. On that cross, He paid for the sins of the world. From that cross, He arose to give everlasting life and the gift of heaven to all who would trust in Him. But in the parable, there was the rich man. And his attitude can be seen around us today. I'll live my way. I'll do what I think best. I'll decide what's important. I'll decide what's right or wrong. It has been said that the entryway door to heaven, the entryway door to hell has a sign posted on it. And the sign to hell says this: here, there's neither right or wrong, just whatever worked for you. Truth 4 in this parable tells us the saddest part of being in hell. It's the utter helplessness and hopelessness of being there. Jesus tells us in the parable that in hell there is not a loss of self-identity, not a loss of consciousness, not a loss of memory. The rich man had all eternity to consider the bad choices that he made, his refusal of God's love. I would suggest to you the worst part of hell are the eternal if-onlys. If only I had listened to what God said. If only I would have accepted His love for me. If only I would have ceased my stubbornness and seen the very love of God who gave His life for me. Truth 5 finally brings us to a wonderful truth. You may be thinking, if you're used to these sermons, Pastor, I've heard a lot of law. I've heard a lot of bad news. Where's the good news? There is no good news unless we come face to face with the reality and the starkness of the bad. Here is the good news. Truth 5. There is only one authentic voice from the dead. And that voice and that person is our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you recall that in the parable the rich man said, Father Abraham, if someone would just rise from the dead, then they'll believe? Well, Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. In Revelation 1, 17 and 18, listen to the words of our Lord Jesus. He says, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys to death and hell. Jesus is the one authentic voice from the dead. He has conquered death. And all who take refuge in Him shall be saved. Now, you're probably aware, unless you're from Australia, you're probably aware that we have had many forest fires in the interior of our province this summer. I have a friend from the prairies who's a firefighter, and he tells me that when firefighters see a fire quickly coming toward them, they know they cannot outrun it. There's only one way to spare their lives and the property they're guarding. They burned a fire all around them. And then they take their stand in that burnt area. They see and hear the flames coming, but they know they are safe because where they stand, the fire has already come and burned. And there's nothing left to burn. My friends, there is one place on earth where the fires of God's wrath against sin have already burned. There is one place on earth where the fires of sin, death, and devil have done their worst. 2,000 years ago, on a place called Calvary, at the cross, the fires of judgment and death burned fiercely. But Jesus, the Son of God, took upon Himself all these fires could bring. And He rose victorious. And He did it for you, Lorraine. For you, Kevin. For you, Gail. He did it for me. As we stand with Him at His cross and at His empty tomb, the fires of hell cannot touch us. We are safe and secure for all eternity with Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Jesus is the authentic voice from the dead. He is calling to you. Hear His voice. Trust His voice. He loves you so. In the name of Jesus. Amen.